Then there was that terrible word, genius. I think my grandfather, with his romantic mind, first obtruded it on my infant notice. But I am quite certain that it was my aunt, Mrs. William Rossetti, who filled me with a horror of its sound that persists to this day. In school time, the children of my family were separated from their cousins, but in the holidays, which we spent as a rule during our young years in lodging houses side by side, in places like Bournemouth or Hythe, we were delivered over to the full educational fury of our aunt. For this, no doubt, my benevolent but misguided father was responsible. He had no respect for schoolmasters, but he had the greatest possible respect for his sister-in-law. In consequence, our mornings would be taken up in listening to readings from the poets, or in improving our knowledge of foreign tongues. My cousins, the Rossettis, were horrible monsters of precocity. Let me set down here with what malignity I viewed their proficiency in Latin and Greek at ages incredibly small. Thus, I believe, my cousin Olive wrote a Greek play at the age of something like 5, and they were perpetually being held up to us, or perhaps to myself alone, for my brother was always very much the sharper of the two, as marvels of genius whom I ought to thank God for merely having opportunity to emulate. For my cousin Olive's infernal Greek play, which had to do with Theseus and the Minotaur, draped in robes of the most flimsy butter muslin, I was drilled, a lanky boy of 12 or so, to wander round and round the back drawing room of Ensley Gardens, imbecilely flapping my naked arms before an audience singularly distinguished who were seated in the front room. The scenery, which had been designed and painted by my aunt, was, I believe, extremely beautiful, and the chinoiserie, the fine furniture and the fine pictures were such that, had I been allowed to sit peacefully amongst the audience, I might really have enjoyed the piece. But it was my unhappy fate to wander round in the garb of a captive before an audience that consisted of Pre-Raphaelite poets, ambassadors of foreign powers, editors, poets laureate, and heaven knows what. Such formidable beings at least did they appear to my childish imagination. From time to time the rather high voice of my father would exclaim from the gloomy depths of the auditorium, "Speak up, Fordy!" Alas, my aptitude for that sort of sport being limited, the only words that were allotted to me were the Greek lamentation, "Phew, phew, phew." And in the meanwhile, my cousin, Arthur Rossetti, who appeared only to come up to my knee, was the hero Theseus, strode about with a large sword, slew dragons, and addressed perorations in the Tennysonian "op" and "ah" style to the candle-lit heavens with their distant view of Athens. Thank God, having been an adventurous youth whose sole idea of true joy was to emulate the doings of the hero of a work called Peck's Bad Boy and His Pa, or at least to attain to the lesser glories of Dick Harkaway, who had a repeating rifle and a tame black jaguar, and who bathed in gore almost nightly. Thank God, I say, that we succeeded in leading our unsuspecting cousins into dangerous situations from which they only emerged by breaking limbs. I seem to remember the young Rossettis as perpetually going about with fractured bones. I distinctly remember the fact that I bagged my cousin Arthur with one collarbone, broken on a boat slide in my company, while my younger sister brought down her cousin Mary with a broken elbow, fractured in a stone hall. Olive Rossetti, I also remember with gratification, cut her head open at a party given by Miss Mary Robinson, because she wanted to follow me down some dangerous steps and fell onto a flower pot. Thus, if we were immolated in butter muslin fetters and in Greek plays, we kept our own end up a little, and we never got hurt. Why, I remember pushing my brother out of a second floor window so that he fell into the area, and he didn't have even a bruise to show, while my cousins, in the full glory of their genius, were never really all of them together, quite out of the bone setter's hands. My aunt gave us our bad hours with her excellent lessons, but I think we gave her hers, so let the score be called balanced. Why, I remember pouring a lot of ink from the first story banisters onto the head of Ariadne Petrici when she was arrayed in the robes of her namesake, whose part she supported. For let it not be imagined that my Aunt Rossetti foisted my cousin Arthur into the position of hero of the play through any kind of maternal jealousy. Not at all. She was just as anxious to turn me into a genius, or to turn anybody into a genius. It was only that she had such much better material in her own children.